Good morning. To welcome everybody here this morning. It's trying to warm up. It's warmer than it was a couple days ago, anyway. Does anybody have any announcements?
We're pushing the pictures right now. So if you didn't have your picture taken for the bulletin board and you would like to have it done, Ethan is willing to do it.
Any others? Mandy.
Sorry, I just ran up here. Just a reminder that next Sunday is Super Bowl of Caring Sunday. I'm not sure if it made it in the bulletin, I didn't look yet. But the food pantry is in dire need of jelly. I was just to let everyone know. Jelly and personal items. Thank you.
Now I know what to get.
The 19th of February is the ice cream social. There's a sign-up sheet out here by the elevator. For what ice cream you may be bringing, or that you're bringing ice cream.
Or toppings or anything else that you want to bring
There's
to go with ice cream or
in the kitchen.
Anything like that.
Ready. And we'll be playing games of all kinds and sorts.
Okay, any other announcements? All right, if not, I call you to worship with these words. From fishing fleets and busy harbors, God gathers simple sailors. Through persecution and injustice, God calls brave prophets. When we least expect it, Christ gathers us in and calls to follow him. Let us gather and answer Christ's call. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God, you don't withhold anything good from those who seek to serve you. We come here wanting to hear you call to each of us. May we know the richness of spiritual renewal, the praise of joyful hearts, the love of obedient lives, and the peace of Christ's presence. Open our minds and our hearts to receive the good you want to give us today and answer your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's begin with our hymn number 11 from the Blue Hymnal, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
be seated. For the first scripture, Psalm 138, would you all turn to your pew Bibles? Or if you have your own NIV version, you can use that. I want us to all read out of the NIV. We're going to be reading it responsively. Psalm 138. Oh, it's on page 444. Sorry, I forgot the page number to say. I will start first verse and we'll rotate back and forth then. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted.
May all peoples of the earth praise you, O Lord. Let them hear your words to your mouth.
May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. Let's bow for the offering prayer. Loving God, you call us to share our treasures, our talents, and the work of our hands. With hearts filled with hope, we praise you for all you've given us, and it is in gratitude that we bring these gifts for your use. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you know the usual routine, the plates back there at the back of the sanctuary. Let's turn to hymn number 389 and sing Take My Life, verses 1, 3, 5, and 6. And let's stand, please. Seated. Our next scripture is Luke 5, verses 1 to 11, and that's found on page 728 in your pew Bibles. Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Good morning. Hello to everybody here and out there. When Jesus finished speaking to the crowd, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Doesn't that sound kind of scary and unappealing? I mean, Simon, he's been toiling all night. He's tired and frustrated. He just wants to go home. Fishing without catching anything is not fun. And working for nothing feels awful, like a waste of time. And we've all done it, like taken on big projects that have just fallen apart. And many of us, over the course of our lives, have even felt this way about our jobs. You may feel that way right now. I mean, at the end of a workday, have you ever thought, what did I do all day? I didn't do anything good, let alone great. I'm bored stiff. I had no fun. I mean, what am I doing with my life? And can you imagine if after a long, hard day like that, you're on your way home and Jesus appears in the passenger seat and says, "Turn around, go back to work." I think Simon feels this way. You can hear the reluctance in his voice when Jesus tells him to put his boat out into the deep water. Simon says, ha. He says, "Come on, really, we've worked all night and haven't caught anything." Now, imagine Jesus' beautiful eyes just boring into Simon's, and maybe Jesus even has a little grin on his face, and he says, "Something happens here," because the next thing Simon says is, "Okay, if you say so, I will let down the nets." And I'm pretty sure there might have been an eye roll, maybe a grump, and a big turn around and go back to work into the deep water. Now, before we move on to the amazing thing that happens next in the scripture, it's important to point out that when deep water is related to God in scripture, it means something very different than what it means to you and me. Having lived in Hawaii for 16 years, deep water freaks me out just a little bit. I paddled Hawaiian outrigger canoe for 7 seasons, and one of the big races takes place in the Molokai Channel, which separates the islands of Oahu and Molokai. It's 26 miles long and plunges to a depth of 2,300 feet. And it's known as one of the world's most treacherous bodies of water. And when you're in this canoe, it's roughly 45 feet long, less than this, and about 16 inches wide, and you're in this boat with 5 other people. It's like a toothpick in the ocean. And about halfway through the race, it gets eerie because you can't see Molokai behind you and you can't see Oahu in front of you. All you see are cloud banks and deep water all around. And to make matters hairier, this race involves changes, meaning that every 20 minutes or so, a few paddlers roll out of the canoe into the water so that a few fresh paddlers who were on an escort boat can get in to continue the race and paddle. So you and maybe 2 other paddlers have rolled out into the deep water, and you're floating in this never-ending sea with 20-foot swells rising and falling all around you. It's unsettling. It's high risk into the deep water. If you look at your bulletin covers, you'll see a depiction of the Lake of Gennesaret, where Jesus told Simon, "Put out into the deep water." The Lake of Gennesaret is the same as the Sea of Galilee, and sea is probably a much better word for it. It's about 33 miles around, 13 miles long, and 8 miles wide. And by into the deep, Jesus means that Simon should launch his little fishing boat into water that's about 141 feet deep. This is like deep sea fishing in a rowboat. Violent storms were common in the Sea of Galilee because of how it's situated, and the waves can swell to about 10 feet high. So when Jesus tells Simon to put the boat out into the deep water, it's no joke. And yet for God, the one who tamed and made the water, deep isn't scary, it isn't risky, and it certainly isn't a waste of time. It's simply deep. It's where the abundance is. It's a well of salvation. I'm going to read some passages to you. Let them wash over you like ocean swells. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. God made and tamed the deep water. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heavens were opened, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and all the domestic animals that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed, and the rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters gradually receded from the earth. God made and tamed the deep water again. Yahweh rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry. Yahweh led them through the deep as though through a desert. God parted the deep water so that the redeemed could get to the promised land. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to you, Lord, out of my distress, and you answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out on the dry land. God puts us into the deep water for a purpose, but brings us safely back to dry land. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? And Jesus said to her, The water that I give you becomes a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty again. God's deep water is life-giving. When they went out into the deep water and let down their nets and caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. But Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching people. And there's that grin again, Jesus' grin that no one can resist, even exhausted fishermen. And when they brought their boats from the deep water to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. These words, deep water, they baptize us and call us to follow Jesus back to work that's worthwhile. Because in that deep water with Jesus is where we find God's creative, taming power and abundance, life-giving redemption, saving grace, rescuing steadfast love, healing and nudging us toward our purpose as God's hands and feet of Jesus in the new kingdom. After this fishing story, we hear numerous accounts of how Jesus and his disciples feed and heal and teach the crowds. and how they save the multitudes. They go deep and they catch big. The gospel accounts tell us the crowds were astounded at his teaching. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. When the crowd saw that Jesus had healed the paralyzed man and forgave his sins, the crowds were filled with awe and they glorified God. And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And those who ate were 5,000 men, not including women and children. Great crowds came to him, bringing all with them, the lame, the maimed, the blind, the mute, and many others. They put them at his feet, and he cured them. Then Jesus called to his disciples and said, "I have compassion for the crowd because they've been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I don't want to send them away hungry because they might faint." So Jesus took 7 loaves and a few small fish, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples fed the crowds, 4,000 men, plus women and children. These stories of Jesus, his disciples, and the crowds go on and on, even after Jesus dies. In the book of Acts, believers were added to the Lord in great numbers of men and women. And even in Revelation, John says to us, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. Then I heard a sound, something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and mighty peals of thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty One, reigns.'" What a beautiful turn of events. God's outrageous, abundant salvation. Jesus reverses everything. After the fall, when Adam ate from the tree that God told him to stay away from, the consequence of that was that food and work and life were no longer going to be easy. There would be pain every day, and the frustration of weeds and thistles popping up through the crops, and sweat on his face just to get a little bit of what he needed to sustain life. Yet God had a redemption plan in mind. God came to earth in the flesh, and Jesus corrected all of this. He said, "Let down the nets." And in these 4 words, we get a taste of God's new creation. With Jesus, we start to see bigger and bigger slices of heaven on earth. More fish, more bread, more healing, more ease, more family reunions, more good wine and wedding parties, more gifts and fruits, more being filled with and expressing everything good and godly, more miracles, more steadfast love. This is the epiphany of what God always wanted, to be with us in the garden in the cool of the day, doing what matters, living fulfilling, joyful lives, fishing, co-creating with God, following Jesus into the deep water where there's a ton of good stuff to reel in because God is right by our side, grinning at us. We are God's hands and feet, and when our purpose is to work for God, we no longer toil uselessly like Simon and Adam. Jesus in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, there in the deep water, redeems all of that. So this week, and from today on, put out into the deep water with Jesus and let down your nets for a catch. Amen.
Let's stand to sing hymn number 99, You Walk Along the Shoreline in Your Green, Sing the Journey Books. Let's stand, please.
Let's pray. God, hear our prayers. Lord, we pray also for the hungry, the poor, and the oppressed, that they may be fed and freed, for all the sick, that they may be healed, for all of our children and youth, that they find their way, for our elders, that they be lovingly cared for, for our earth and all of its creatures, for the leaders of our institutions that they lead from love, for frontline workers and all those who toil, for this church, our ministries, and our families, friends, and our pets. Save us, O God, because sometimes we feel like the waters are up to our necks and we're sinking into the deep waters where there is no foothold. But we know that you're there with us, and our prayer is to you, Yahweh, in the abundance of your steadfast love. We know that you're with us. You hear our prayers. You are rescuing us. For you made and tamed the deep waters, and with you we are not afraid. And now, as Jesus taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, get into the boat with Jesus. Go out into the deep water and let your nets down for a big catch. Amen.
Let's stand to sing our last hymn. And take note of the verses that are listed in the bulletin.